Hey, whānau, joining me on the line now is my old mate. Now, this bloke needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mike King has got to be one of this country's most preeminent mental health advocates, a fighter and a driver for suicide prevention. And my God, I've never known anybody so prolific in his mahi than this bloke. Former New Zealander of the Year. You fellas know who Mike King is. If we had some sound effects, you'd probably clap him. And Mike King, welcome, my brother.
How are you,
Cassie? Oh, you know me, every day is a good struggle in the jungle, the Tamaki jungle, my friend.
Hey, no one gets, like, the only fella I know that gets more publicity than me is you.
Well, you know, it's hard when people start calling you the Marty George Clooney, though, eh? I mean, it's kind of like...
Oh, bro, I know, I mean, you know... You can't help it. It's jeans, brother. It's jeans.
It is jeans, Mike. It is jeans. And right about now, I'm wearing those cheapy ones from the Wadi Funny because I can't get anybody else to send me anything. Hey, my brother, let's have a talk about your mahi and mental health. I mean, you know, you've really set the pace in the scene. We're way behind the eight ball when it comes to this particular kaupapa, but COVID-19 has really amplified the situation for our whānau, eh? What's your take on where things are currently at? And more to the point, what more can we be doing?
Well, first off, I'm genuinely shocked by the suicide figures that came out saying that there was a drop in numbers. Because seriously, bro, this year I have had more contact from more whānau who have lost their... lost loved ones, young and old, to whakamomori, than any other year I've been in the game. We've had more contacts. Mm. Our Gumboot Friday, we're running at 500 new kids a month getting counselling sessions. So quite where that figure came from, they've gone to a new system. So I'm just in the process of OIAing the coroner and asking, okay, so that's 608 of the confirmed cases. How many cases are still waiting for confirmation? And I think people will be pretty surprised, but well, I'll be shocked if there isn't any, but because you know how long the coroner takes, sometimes up to 2.5 years. So, with COVID, it's everyone's struggling. I'm struggling. It's been 11, 12 weeks. People are saying to me, how are you? And normally I just go, I'm good, regardless. But, my whole whānau's feeling it. My kids are all feeling it, that whole isolation. And it's not just, people think it's just us here in Auckland that are struggling. But we all have whānau outside Auckland that we're missing, that we're loving, our kids, our mokos, they're all out there. And, so it really isn't just an Auckland isolated thing. It is, it's a thing right across the rohi,
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we are in town. We're in Auckland. I mean, we're going through, what is a prolonged lockdown. I mean, nowhere near what happened in Melbourne and Argentina and all these other places. I mean, and to be really frank about it, I mean, we've dodged a heck of a bullet in terms of deaths and cases, even though things are looking pretty shaky right now. But actually, it's our kids that I worry about, Mike, because they're the ones that have been out of school. They're missing and disconnected from their social networks. And then we've got some kids even who can't afford, their whānau can't afford a device to learn from home. And then we've got our young people in their teenage years moving towards NCEA. It's like a whole year has been lost. I mean, this is that critical time in their lives where, my God, they're faced with a pandemic. And forget about what the adults might be doing for a moment. It's about the kids.
Yeah, well, I've got my 8-year-old. She does an hour and a half on the computer with her class. And then she does her homework. And, she gets that done in an hour. And then there's a lot of the day to just sit around. My 18-year-old daughter, she's year 13. She's just had her mock exams where her mum had to go and pick up the exam, bring it home, give it to her. She's one of those fastidious students too. Mm. She could have quite easily taken a device in there with all the answers, and the mother could have given it to her earlier, and so she's sitting there. She's one of the honest ones. She did it legit. But then she's got the stress of, you know, all the other kids, you know, are they legit, you know, and all the other kids that she's been acing for the last 5 years, suddenly they come in with bigger scores than her and, you know, so it's really stressful and, you know, it is a real struggle. She has anxiety anyway. So, you know, it's there for everyone and there just isn't the services, you know, that are there, the crucial services that our kids need. And the number one thing our kids need is someone neutral to talk to. Mm-hmm. I don't think parents and whānau understand how important it is for our kids to have someone outside the whānau, someone with no contact with the whānau, so they can actually speak their heart. I mean, a lot of the times, the kids that I deal with, you know, when I ask them, you know, have you talked to your mum and dad about anything? No. Mm. Why not? Because every time I talk to them, they make it about them and they just make me feel worse or even worse. Suicidal kids, even worse when I go, have you talked to mum and dad? You know, I can't tell mum and dad. Mum and dad have sacrificed everything. Mum works two jobs, dad works three jobs. They've sacrificed everything to get me where I am and I can't put this on them. So, you know, these are the kids that actually need someone that they can sit down and that person can normalize what they're going through. And why is that important? Because for a lot of Māori whānau in particular, my dad said to me, when I was the oldest son, and he said, your job is to protect, provide, and take protect your family, provide for your family, and give your kids a better opportunity than you had. And the number one rule, always be in control. You must never, ever show fear in front of your families. You've got to always to provide that security. So what I did with my older kids in particular, all they saw was a staunch dad that was constantly pointing out their mistakes, constantly telling them what they're doing wrong, and never talking about my vulnerability, never talking about me being scared. They could see that I was scared or they could sense that I was scared, but because I wasn't saying it, that put more pressure on them. And here's the twist. Because I'm not talking to them about what's stressing me out and why, you know, and why I'm looking worried and why I'm angry, because I don't talk about this stuff, my kids are sitting there thinking, it must be me. What did you do to Dad? You must have done something. He snapped at you. You're always, you know, you're not worthy. So I'm just passing on those fears, those generational fears, you know, and our biggest fear is we're not going to be able to provide for our whānau and we're going to let them down, you know, that whole sense of shame. So yeah, it's a big one for our kids.
Yeah, it is a big one, and it's even more troubling now that we still, even though we've got a traffic light system coming up, and you know the vaccination rates are here in Tāmaki are tracking towards 90%. I think Counties Monaco is coming up the rear with about, you know, maybe 1,000 or so vaccinations to go. But we're at also that time of the year where we know mental health becomes an amplified issue anyway, irrespective of the pandemic, and that's Christmas.
There is too much bureaucratic arrogance going on. I sat there for 2 years listening to Andrew Little saying that my counsellors, I had unsafe counsellors on my list. That's why Gumboot Friday couldn't be funded. I found out only 8 weeks ago why our funders can't be, like, why Gumboot Friday can't get counselling. Because the Ministry of Health doesn't deem the biggest counselling association in the country, Counsellors Aotearoa and the New Zealand Counselling Association, who go through 3 years tertiary training and in-work training to qualify, they are not considered safe by the Ministry of Health, yet social workers, OTs, occupational therapists, peer supporters and drug and alcohol counsellors are all considered to be more qualified than people who have got a professional degree.
Yeah.
And when we OIA'd this and look for the reason, it's all about governance. So basically, because the New Zealand Councillors Association are self-governing and self-regulated, the Ministry of Health wants control of that organisation. They want control of that organisation, and the councillors say no. We can self-regulate. We've got our own insurance. We're covered. Just leave us alone. So people can go and get them privately, but the government won't fund them, yet they will fund a group of people that don't have anywhere near the counselling experience for our kids. And I just find that mind-blowing.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I mean, mind you, I don't think it's unique to the Ministry of Health. I think this is the perennial problem with devolution of services, right? You know, governments come and go, the public service remains, and that is the problem.
That is the problem. People say, what do you think of Jacinda's done this and Andrew's done that? Look, you know, this isn't a battle against politicians. It's a war on bureaucracy.
Mm.
The same clowns that were advising advising the Jonathan Coleman, the National Department of Health, are advising the current government. These officials are all the same. The only one that changed is Chai Chua's got swept out, and in came Ashley Bloomfield. Everyone else is the same. There is, you know, there is no new blood, and it's almost as. I mean, did you read Ian Taylor's couple of little wee things the other day?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah.
Colin, man, that fella there, he tells someone to go and, you know.
He does it very, how do I put it?
It's such a kind way.
He's like he's kissing you on the cheek while he's carrying a big-ass AK-47.
I texted him and I said, iron fist in a velvet glove.
Yeah.
Because he just pings them. But he is right on the money. You know, there are things, you know. Look, we are the team of 5 million, but this is just my opinion. Like, and I like Jacinda. I think Andrew Little is probably one of the best ministers of health that we've had in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're tied up in bureaucracy. And you know, for me, it's kind of like. Particularly with COVID, you know, it's like, you know, we were the All Blacks. We went out there and we beat COVID, you know, in the first lockdown. And then we came out of that battle and we came home. And instead of preparing for the next season, you know, we took the cup on a journey and we stood on the podium and we were waving to the world and taking all the accolades. Meanwhile, COVID went out there, it got into training, it was looking for new ways to defeat us, and it come back 11 weeks ago and smashed us.
Yeah.
And smashed us. And instead of the coach standing up and going, hey, look, I might have got these tactics wrong, we gotta try something else, the coach turned around through the assistant coaches, because, you know, in the first lockdown, the coach was telling us about the fears and, you know, and we're worried. This time here, it's like, you know, send the assistant coaches in and blame all the players. You're not playing the game right. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And I'm like, excuse me?
Mm.
Excuse me? We're doing everything we can. Your communication's gone to the pack. You're not being vulnerable with us. You're not telling us your fears. All you are doing is telling us we are getting it wrong.
And
Māori in particular, we're sitting there, you know, I live in South Auckland. You know, the Prime Minister's preaching kindness and all the rest of it, but when the Samoan whānau went to work at KFC and they were infected, you know, she turned dog on them. She outed them and said they were this and they were that. Even when this whānau produced the text from the Ministry of Health that said, nah, you're sweet to go to work, it was completely ignored. There was no apology.
Mm.
I just don't feel like, you know, and I don't think anyone in Auckland feels like, you know, we have been thanked for our service.
I think you're right, Mike. I think a lot of people are just tired as well. I mean, you know, I remember making some comments last week about these South Island mayors saying, oh, you know, we need to open up. Well, whatever happens in Auckland happens in Auckland. And I reminded them that actually we're the beating heart of the national economy. And let's not muck around here with no international tourists going to the South Island. You guys are just as dependent on Auckland as you ever have been. So how about being a little bit bloody nicer? You know, I'm just thinking about, I remember those days when Coleman was, you've triggered me, Mike, you've triggered me, old Coleman. I think the other one was Crawshaw. And I remember going into the office, Jonathan Coleman's office up there at the Beehive, and I was sitting in that meeting, and it was the first time you and I had really met. Or the weeks after it, I'd gone to that meeting. I said to these fellas, the suicide rate in Aotearoa has gone up. And I thought I said it with some credibility and a degree of munda, having been in suicide prevention in Australia for some time. I'll never forget it when they tried to tell me, no, the suicide rate hasn't gone up. This is the Minister of Health, National Government, Jonathan Coleman.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, no, it hasn't gone up. And he's looking at his officials, and the officials have worded him up. And I kicked the officials out the room. I kicked them out of his Beehive office, and I said, you must think I'm stupid. You must think that I think that I've just seen a unicorn fly past your window crapping a rainbow. And after that, and the week after that, I saw him at the Kuru Club Lounge in Wellington, and he did everything he could to avoid me. You know, I get that politicians make crazy decisions, but I come back to that point about the public service and bureaucracy. It is, if for a country so small, you would think that we'd be a lot better at getting the small and the big things right, eh? Bloody heck.
Just for example, right, there's a timber shortage at the moment, right? Mm. There's a timber shortage. Why aren't we retooling Tauhara and milling the timber here?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Why do we have to send our timber all the way to China and then bring it all? Sure, it's going to cost a little bit more for that timber, but it's going to drive the economy. Kawerau's nearly a dead town. You know, the signals are closing the mill. Whakatane, there's another one over there.
Mm.
You know, we're Kiwi. We used to get on the tools and just, you know, work with what we had. Nowadays, it's almost like, you know, that whole sense of pride is gone, and we're waving a white flag and saying to the world, come and rescue us.
Yeah.
We don't need to be there. And you know, that all comes from, it all stems from leadership, you know. And talking about Jonathan Coleman, you know, running away from you, I've got a similar story. You know, 18 months ago, I was down with Jacinda on the podium of truth, talking up their mental health program. You know, 2 weeks after that, her officials told her that she wasn't allowed to talk to me anymore, and hasn't returned a phone call or a text since, you know, or an email. I still believe that she's a good person.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But here's my thing, brother. Here's my thing. I believe, just like other leaders, like John Key and all the rest of them, she's going to have a lot of regret.
Mm.
When the dust settles, and you know, and she's going to look back at what she could have done for our people, particularly with something like, and I'm not talking myself up, Gumboot Friday.
Mm.
We have got the most innovative platform out there. We've got a 6-day waiting list as opposed to a 6-month waiting list. It's $137 on average an appointment. The government's funded services, those appointments are running out at $1,900 an appointment. $1,900. We are running a better service. I've offered it to the government for free and said, you can have it. I mean, it's cost me nearly $500,000 to build the platform, but have it for free. I'll give it to you for nothing,
mm-hmm.
as long as you fund the councillor. You know, like, you know, you get the councillors, and they just refuse. And this is what Serene Taylor was saying about, they just get stuck in a box, and because it's not their idea, and you know, a couple of dumb Hories come up with a bit, and this is, I'm paraphrasing, me and Ian, a couple of dumb Horries come along and we just go, well, this is a sensible fix right here. They don't understand sensible. They don't have common sense. Everything has to be super complicated. And more money goes on waste, and by waste I mean wastefully spending money on covering ass.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you go in with a new idea to any of these bureaucrats, whether it's the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Health, whatever it is, the first thing out of their mouths is they will tell you 30 reasons why you can't do something.
Oh, I would have gone 50, but anyway, you know, Mike. Just for our listeners out there, there are a couple of websites you can go to right now and support the mahi that Mike does. Gumboofriday.org.nz, and there's a little make a donation button there. I've just gone and paid it forward with a $100 donation. You can do it too, whānau. Every little bit counts, particularly when it comes to our kids in counselling.
Oh, brother, look, that's not the only thing people can do to help.
Oh no, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that.
No. Here's just let me
yeah, go for it.
You know, if you don't have money, here's how you can
Thank
help.
Thank you. Yeah.
Tell whānau and friends who have kids who are struggling that they can go to gumboofriday.org.nz and get those kids free counselling immediately.
Mm.
The best thing that we can do for our kids is get them into a state of mind where they can be productive, where they can have that self-esteem and know that they can do anything. So spread the word. It is free. Click on the Find a Counselor, click on your location or online, and then all the counselors will come up. It's a three-click option, and we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I want every Māori and every Pacific Islander and every Kiwi kid to get the help that they need. And, you know, we're running out of money fast. That's why we're having another Gumboot Friday on this week. But, you know, I'm going to do, as long as there's a breath in my body,
yeah,
I'm going to make sure we get as many of our kids seen to so they don't end up, you know, in the Utapā,
yeah,
you know, with a regretful family left behind.
It's no, just,
it's not worth it.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, I'll never forget the first time we met at some dodgy little hotel there in Epsom, I think it was, at a conference on suicide prevention. What was the future of not-for-profits or something all those years ago?
I remember that.
You know, Mike, it was the best connection I made on my journey back home. You, my friend, are an absolute superstar, and I know you're coming from the right place, and I don't care what the bureaucrats think. I don't really care what the politicians think. I only care about the people that are doing the mahi on the ground every single day, and that's you. Hey, whānau, gumbootfriday.org.nz is the website. Go and take a look. Please, if your kids, if your tamariki, your mokopuna need help, click on that Get a Counsellor button. If you can make a donation, please help it out, help Mike out, because they are doing amazing work. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for taking the time out of your night. I really
Love
appreciate
you,
it, bro. Love you too, cuz. You take care, eh?
Ka kite.
Ka kite.